and Southbound will be at the Nutty Irishman in Bayshore at 8 p.m. Thank you for listening to WUSB's Concert Billboard. The Concert Billboard is a free service provided by WUSB Stony Brook. Please look for us, the WUSB Concert Billboard on Facebook, for the most current listings. Thank you for listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Joined very quickly tonight by Kyle. Kyle, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me? It's a little windy out here.
Actually, I hear you just fine. Better than you've come across in a long time, actually. Now I'm going to get to what you're about to do in a second, but first I just wanted to update you on something. I just called you now. I didn't have time to tell you this, but Kyle, do you know there's a rash of bank robberies here in the Stony Brook area in the last few days? In fact, banks that we have walked inside of have been robbed in the last few hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, isn't that something?
Oh, that sounds drastic. Sounds like they're getting busy over there.
Well, the Capital One Bank on Route 25A in Setauket was apparently robbed today, and I just drove by there now, and it's really weird. You look inside, and there's this cop just standing at the door on the inside, glaring at the outside. So if you walk into that bank, you're going to have to go through him. And then I look through the window, and there's nothing but cops inside. So I don't know. Either they're doing a lot of banking, or there's some kind of investigation. And then just last week, apparently, the Chase Bank in Setauket was also robbed. So I don't know if there's a relationship here, but that's what's going on right now. So if you want to have some fun, go down Route 25A and to talk it. There's cops all over the place and all kinds of investigations. But anyway, Kyle, what you're about to do, you're about to embark in the adventure of a lifetime, and not robbing a bank, although that could be the adventure of a lifetime for some people. What you're doing is more harmless, I think. You're about to, why don't you tell us what you're about to do?
I'm taking a train all the way to New York City from Seattle.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Wow. I did that from California and went all the way across country, and I got to say, it is a thrill. It is a great adventure, a lot of fun. You meet all kinds of people, and cool. Well, how long does the trip take?
I think it's about 45 hours.
45 hours? You mean less than 2 days?
Yeah.
Actually, you have to transfer, right?
Yeah, I have one layover, and it's like 6 hours.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting, sort of a slow way to go, and I want to see what's going on from the train system that way. I think I packed too much stuff, but I think I'll make it.
Well, that's the thing. When you take a train, you can pack a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm bringing some food, so hopefully I'll create more space as I ride and have a snack or two, and now lighten up my load. I think that's how I engineered it, but I've been repacking and packing, and I don't know. I want to bring some nice clothes, but also I'm going to be bringing a bicycle. I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, folks, try bringing a bicycle on an airplane. See how far you get. This is something you can do on a train. You can bring a bicycle. Maybe you can even ride the bike up and down the train while you're moving.
Yeah, there's a lot of support for bicycles on some of the trains. They even have racks and that the like. So I want to see on this one how they do it. I called and Amtrak officially said I have to buy a $15 box, and then there's a $5 handling fee. And so that would be interesting, but I'm going to keep the box, and maybe I can reuse it on other modes of transportation.
Sure, the boxes are very handy for these kinds of things, but wow, that's incredible. As much detail as you can possibly capture, please do, because I'm very fascinated by the whole thing. What kind of people are on the train, how big the train is, what's in different cars, what services they offer, what you see on the outside, obviously. Like, you're going through, what, Montana and Idaho and places like that?
Yeah, I think it takes a northern route. I know that the tracks get... this is what I was told. The tracks get warped because it's so cold, and they warm up when the trains go by and then cool down and get warped. And that's why in Montana you have to go 40 miles an hour. But I don't buy that, because how do they do it in Norway? How do they do it in other countries, like in Scandinavia, where it's really, really cold?
The answer to that, Kyle, is that they're Norwegian. They know what they're doing as far as that kind of thing goes.
Right. So people told me those kinds of things, and I'll be looking out, definitely.
Wow. Okay. Well, Kyle, I don't want to hold you up, because how much longer before your train actually leaves?
I think it leaves at about 20 to 5.
Okay, and it's about 3 o'clock there now, 3:09.
Right, it's 3:15 now, and I'm sort of turning myself into a bit of a pack mule and trying to bicycle in. It's only a couple miles, so just going to take it easy and, try not to fall over with my bags and stuff. But
hang on, you're bicycling to the train station to take the train.
Yeah, I had some people offer rides, and then they had offered other rides, and so I had things fall through. So what you do is, I was planning on going myself anyway, and it is a little complicated because I have to bring equipment for projects and stuff, and so I'm a bit, I have enough socks, I think. I don't know. I don't know if I balanced everything right, but
I just think it's awesome that you're about to embark on a cross-country trip, and you're bicycling to the point of departure. Again, try doing that on an airplane. I don't think that's done very often. It's going to be awesome, Kyle. Having done it once myself, you'll have your own little room, and I believe meals are all covered, so you can just go into the dining car 3 times a day or something.
Yeah, I got to tell you, everybody I've talked to, if they weren't a jet setter that said I was crazy at first, it was the typical reaction was, hey, I'm really jealous, or hey, oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm going to be looking to have a good time as well and just relax, work on some stuff. I brought an actual paper book. It's a real thick one, heavy kind of book.
What kind of a book is this, Kyle? What?
Well, it's one that's made out of fiber, and it's 3 inches thick.
Wow.
A biography on the photographer Walker Evans. So I'm going to be reading that, and coasting along on the rails.
Well, that'll attract a lot of attention for sure. So definitely fascinating things going on there. All right, well, Kyle, have a great time and travel safe and all that kind of thing. And, yeah, pay attention to all the different things that happen because, wow, this is a pretty unique way to go. Shouldn't be so unique. People should do this. It's not that hard to do. It's not that costly. Yeah, it's more than an airplane, but what you get for it, you know, you get boarding and you get food for I think, 3 days. And, you know, when you add all that in, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, there's more space. You can, have several meals, and I'm looking forward to spreading out a little bit and try to do like the types of typical. Or I don't know. I guess we're as pricey in other countries, but it's I guess more accessible. I don't know what the difference is. There's a distinction there somewhere, but I'm looking forward to being able to. Enjoy the same type of travel you get in the comprehensive systems in like Europe, but you know I guess here people think it's prohibitive for whatever reason. But we'll see.
Well, it's because we're always in such a hurry. We have to always get something done immediately, and it's. I think what you'll have a chance to do is simply sit back and relax and meditate and read and do whatever you need to do.
Yes, and have pumpernickel bread and warm.
You know how to live, that's for sure. All right, Kyle, have a great time. Great hearing from you, and I guess you'll be in the studio next week.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you.
All right, me too. Have a great time. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Good night. And that's Kyle on his way to New York from Seattle by train. And yes, you can do things like this. It's not that difficult. And it's a whole lot of fun. It's a great way to see the country. And it's a big country. If you live in a big country, you might as well see the big country, right? Makes sense to me. So, I got to do that again. You know, I did that at the final leg of my round-the-world trip. What was that, 2005? I did that. Went all the way around the world by land and by sea. And the final part was a train from California to New York, which, again, stopped in Chicago. And it wasn't quite the same as the European trains. European trains are a bit more slick, but it was probably a bit more modern than the Trans-Siberian Express, which I also took during that trip. Although Trans-Siberian Express, they're more used to this kind of thing. So some parts were better, some parts weren't better. For instance, and I think I complain about this on the radio quite a bit, for some reason on the Amtrak trains, they position the beds so that they're parallel to the tracks instead of perpendicular to the tracks. Now, what that means is when you're sleeping on a perpendicular bed, as you do throughout Europe, throughout China, throughout the rest of the world, you kind of rock to sleep by the motion of the rails. Whereas in the States, you're rocked out of your bed because the train is rocking in the direction that you're lying, and you just get... I got thrown out of bed twice, and not quite as relaxing. So I don't know if Kyle knows he's got that ahead of him, but yeah. That's coming up. Okay, this is an abbreviated show, actually. We're only on for 45 minutes tonight because it's the last men's basketball game of this particular time slot, of this particular day. There are more games coming up, but the men are up in Hartford, I believe. Yeah, and they're looking to kick some ass up there. And tomorrow night, in fact, the women Hartforders come down here. So I'm not sure who schedules these things or if they're even related or if they can share a bus or whatever, but... it's all going to be broadcast here on WUSB. Just one of the many, many things that we do here on this particular radio station, including breaking news about bank robberies in the area. Yes, this hasn't even hit the media yet. Maybe the media, the mainstream media, that is, doesn't care. I just looked up, while we were talking, I looked up the story on Newsday, and this is how I found out about the other bank that was robbed last week. I didn't even know about this. That's how low key we are here in Stony Brook. We have banks robbed around us, and we don't even think twice about it because we haven't even heard about it. But basically, cops seek masked man who robs a Talkit bank. Now, okay, I guess that's sort of a nod to tradition. If you rob a bank, you should wear a mask. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. So if you see a masked man walking around Talkit, you should take heed that this might be. You know, this is silly. Cops seek mask. Do you think maybe he took the mask off after he robbed the bank? You know, it's quite possible. It's quite possible. Maybe he's still wearing it. Maybe he doesn't realize that that's how he's going to be found. But that's a stupid headline. Sorry. Cop seek mask man. Anyway, let's see what this this story says here. Suffolk County's Major Case Investigations Unit, major case, is looking for a masked man who robbed the Setauket Bank last Wednesday, and apparently they're now looking for somebody who robbed the bank today, only moments ago, or maybe an hour or so ago, also in Setauket. I'd say maybe a quarter mile away from the other bank. The bank today was a Capital One. The bank last Wednesday was a Chase. Now, here's the thing. I'm not sure which Chase it is. Believe it or not, in Setauket, and this is something, people come from miles around to see this, there is a Chase Bank. Next door to the Chase Bank is another Chase Bank. There are two Chase Banks adjacent to each other. Now, we all know that Chase Banks have been taking over all the other banks, but this kind of got out of hand. They took over two banks that were next door to each other, and apparently neither one wants to move. So you have a Chase Bank next door to another Chase Bank. I'm not sure which one got robbed. I think I've only been inside one of them. But it's kind of silly. You know, in this day and age, I don't know why more people aren't robbing banks, because it's just so incredibly crazy how the banks rub your nose in it. I mean, obviously not the people in the banks. They're the nicest people in the world. They really are. And they don't deserve to be going through this nonsense. But, boy, you know, when people are losing their homes and having to pay through the nose for all kinds of things that richer people don't have to worry about, when they're being taxed out of existence and basically everyone's worried about what the poor millionaires are going to do. Yeah, you know, it can get kind of frustrating. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here. This could just be somebody out for a thrill or just needing to, you know, pay for some drugs or something like that. I don't know. I don't know the circumstances. But I do know that we live in a time where there's a lot of frustration and a lot of poverty and a lot of people that are witnessing injustice all around them. Really happens all the time. So I don't know why banks aren't robbed every day. I really don't. Anyway, getting back on track here. So a man entered the Chase Bank at 1395 Route 25A. So that's, I guess they have different addresses, the ones that are next door to each other. So whichever one is 1395, that's the one they robbed. Happened about 11:10 in the morning. The masked man handed the teller a note demanding cash and indicating he was armed. The teller gave the man an unspecified amount of cash, and the robber fled on foot, heading south through... Oh, for God's sake, really? Newsday wants me to pay to read the rest of the article. That's great. You know what? I'm describing a bank robbery suspect here, and Newsday is stepping in saying, no, we're not going to tell you anything until you give us some cash. Great. You know, he's getting away. Thank you, Newsday. He's getting away now because you won't let me read the damn story on the web. Don't put the story on the web if you don't want people to read it. My God. Emmanuel, you should pay for what you read. Yeah, okay. Say I already subscribe to the New York Times. Say I already subscribe to the Washington Post, maybe the Wall Street Journal. How many newspapers do I have to subscribe to read the news on the web? All of them? It's ridiculous. Come on, this is not the way to work it out. All right, so you know what? There's a guy running around. He's got a mask on. Nobody knows where he went or what he looks like. God help us all. Just don't forget to pay these people to read these precious words. Seriously, the web is not the same thing as a newspaper. It's not. And it should not be searchable. This is something that I get upset at Google News about. Google News should not be taking me to stories that I have to pay for. If nothing else, it takes up all this time when you're trying to read the story to register and pay and get your credit card out and all that kind of nonsense. And I'm not going to do it. Sorry. I'm closing this window right now. There. Okay, so that's the late-breaking local news that's going on around here. And, boy, what a lot of fun we have. It's incredible. I don't think the neighborhood is in lockdown. I don't think we have to stay indoors. I think we just have to watch out for the masked people running around, causing mayhem. All right, I wanted to read letters last week, didn't get a chance to, so let's do that this week. I don't think we're going to take phone calls because it's a shortened program. Next week, though, looks good for that. So our email address is OTH. I'm sorry, that's the wrong show, isn't it? That's the other show. OTW at 2600.com. OTW for Off the Wall at 2600.com. And, you know, I guess I should point out at this juncture a lot of people get it wrong. They send mail off the wall to off the hook and vice versa. And the wrong people wind up reading things. Sometimes feelings are hurt because stories are not meant for them and they get confused. No, try and don't double mail. Oh, that's the worst when people do both. No, please don't do that. Please don't do that because then I read it twice and I get confused. You know, so please, otw@2600.com. is our email address for this radio show. Now, if you want to email the other radio show, you know what? You got to listen to that radio show to find out what the email address for that one is. There, all right? Can't be more fair than that. Okay, dear Emmanuel, I've paused in listening to your February 2nd show to comment on your rant. Isn't this something? He paused the show to write this letter. Isn't it possible that I went on to say something that completely negates the entire letter? You know, I flip-flopped before. It does happen. He paused listening to the February 2nd show to comment on my rant about the locations of the Super Bowl. All right, I remember that rant. That was a good rant. I'll start by saying that I'm even less interested in American football than you are. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, I'm interested in the things that nobody else is interested in. I'm interested in the divisional lineups. I'm interested in the history. You know, I'm interested in maybe the stadiums and the color schemes and just the bizarre rules. Like, what is a touchback, you know, and all that kind of thing. The game, yeah, you know, I can sort of sit through that and not even look at it. But, you ever notice in these professional sports leagues, they always get it wrong. They always somehow put a team from the West Coast in the Southeastern Division. I understand why this happens. Teams move around, and they can't always realign things quickly enough. A perfect example in the NHL, the Winnipeg Jets, they're in the Southeast. Obviously, that's the one direction they're not in, but they're in the Southeast. Oh, and by the way, if they win tonight, they could be in first place. Yeah, think about that. Yeah, I follow it sometimes when it's really bizarre and strange and unusual. And the Winnipeg Jets kind of have me enthused because it's way up there in the north. People are so enthusiastic about it. They lost their team years ago. They got it back. And it's a lot better than the mainstream, put it that way. Anyway, getting back to this letter. Interested in football, American football, even less than I am. I'll spare you the latitude math, but you should know that Indianapolis, where they held the Super Bowl this year, is only 57 miles south of New York City. It's also only 63 miles south of East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the 2014 Super Bowl is being held, and 11 miles south of Philadelphia, where your friend Bernie S. lives. I suspect you don't consider Philadelphia to be southern, but I could be mistaken. Actually, I consider Pennsylvania to be a southern state, and that's just based on attitude. But Philadelphia, nah, that's not a southern city. And yes, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. I wasn't even thinking about that. I wasn't even thinking that Indianapolis is a northernmost city compared to where they usually have the Super Bowl, which is California and Florida and hot places. That was pretty much the gist of that rant. Now, both Indianapolis, continuing here, and New York City are in what is known as a humid continental climate. Oh, my goodness. Köppen class DFA. Yeah, I got to say, our listeners know things that boggle my mind. Not that that's too hard to do, but boy. Continuing, however, since Indianapolis doesn't have the temperature mitigating impact of the Atlantic Ocean nearby, its average January high is 34 degrees Fahrenheit versus New York City's 38 degrees Fahrenheit. Why are we speaking Fahrenheit still? I'm sorry, that's another rant I gotta give one of these days. I mean, it's us and Belize. Those are the only two countries in the world that still use Fahrenheit. It makes no sense at all. No sense. The only thing that's good about Fahrenheit is that when it's 100 degrees, it's too hot. When it's 0 degrees, it's too cold. That's the only thing. Nobody can remember 32 degrees is freezing and 212 degrees is boiling. You know, it's better to remember the Celsius way, where 0 is freezing and 100 is boiling. And some would say that's too hot and that's too cold. But the point is, the whole world uses Celsius, they use the metric system, they use kilometers. Again, another time we'll give that rant. But I really, I'll be standing up for that one. I feel very strongly about it. Had we been having a normal winter, which I believe was the origin of your complaint, you could have expected the temperatures in Indianapolis to be lower than in New York City. Specifically, the average high and low for February 5th which was the day of this year's Super Bowl for Indianapolis, is 37 as a high, 22 as a low, whereas New York City is 40 as a high, 28 as a low. And then this year it's something like 60 as a high and 50 as a low. Disgusting. Continuing here, don't mistake this as an attempt to defend Indianapolis. As someone who grew up in what is now a suburb of Indianapolis, I can attest to the fact that it is a pretty worthless place. Oh boy, here come the letters. It has all the negatives of a large city without any of the positives. Be that as it may, the one thing Indianapolis is not is Southern. Thanks, love the show. Signed, Keith. Thank you very much, Keith. And, you know, there is one good thing about Indianapolis. They have a loop highway system that goes around in a circle around the city. I'm trying here. I really am. I know D.C. has the same thing. A lot of cities have that, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. They have a section or a suburb of Indianapolis that they named Speedway. They named it after the Speedway. You know, it's like having, I don't know, the Bronx be called Stadium. You know, after Yankee Stadium or something like that. But, hey, you take what you can get. Indianapolis, yeah. Okay, you know, it's kind of cool to have a city that has most of the state in it. Indianapolis, Indiana, you know. I'm trying so hard. Okay, here's another letter. Last night you were saying we could email to say how we've been enjoying the shows on Off the Wall. They are my favorite podcast next to Off the Hook, and it's always so nice to hear the background sounds like they do on NPR sometimes, or Voice of America. We're being compared to Voice of America. Wow. Hearing the radio stations from those places, too, and the trains. Yeah, so when we travel, we record the radio in the country and play it back here. And it's fascinating to hear. And, yes, trains. You're referring to one of the more recent shows where Kyle and I were on a train heading into Ukraine from Belarus. The train ride that seemed to take forever because we were just so eager to get out of Belarus. And, yeah, it sounds great. It sounds great when you're actually on it and all the sounds get captured and conveyed over the radio. For those of you who don't ride trains very often, I guess it's the closest you can get to it. But believe me, the real thing is so much better. Anyway, I wish the trains were better here in Ontario, Canada. They're kind of overpriced, I think. I wish it was more affordable to travel by train here. Yeah, well, you know, it can be if people put pressure on, if people stop driving as much, if people are curious about other places. You know, what's the point of having a high-speed rail linked from New York to Chicago if people in New York don't want to go to Chicago or vice versa? You know, you have this this willingness to go out and explore places, and maybe there'll be a better way to get there. I mean, look at the Chinatown buses. They're everywhere now. People are always going to Boston and to D.C. and Philadelphia by the Chinatown buses because they're so cheap and they're so frequent, and they've created a market. That's how you do it. You make it affordable. And the other thing you do is you stop subsidizing the air industry. It pollutes incredibly. It's a real hassle, very stressful. And if we had that kind of support for the rail system in this country, boy, it would be on par with Europe, for sure. And we'd be traveling a lot more and seeing a lot more things. Okay, continuing. I just picked up the New Hacker Quarterly here yesterday, too, but it's a bit more difficult to find these days. I'm hearing that because, you know, bookstores are going out of business, that kind of thing. I'm glad One Shop still stocks it. It's been almost a year since I finally wrote my ham radio exam here, too, and I picked a call sign to salute 2600 in a way, and the hacker spirit. I'm going to read your call sign over the air. You sent it to us, so hopefully that's what you want. VA3HAK. VA3HAK. That's great. That's awesome. I really enjoyed hearing your childhood tape recording, too. Yes, oh boy, I did that, didn't I? I played me as an 11-year-old. Yeah, I always had a tape recorder close by from the time I was born. Mainly it was my grandparents and at their house. But they have tapes of me even crying when I was a baby in 1968. And then I went on to do my own talk shows in the 1970s, talking into the recorder with a little handheld mic. I did the same thing. Wow. Later I got my own tape recorder and enjoyed it a lot back then. I'm so glad your shows can still go on in this day, thanks to WBAI and WUSB, of course, and that you can still talk about anything on your mind on air. Yeah, I kind of do, don't I? I just was talking about how I can't believe more people aren't robbing banks. I said that. It's on my mind. It's so hard to find radio programs like that anymore. It's why I got into shortwave. And hi, Frank.
Hi.
Frank is here.
Pick up.
How is it out there? Is it safe to go outside?
It's totally locked down.
Totally locked down. You know which bank it was, right?
Yeah, I think I know. I know. I heard about the other one. Matter of fact, someone was in the parking lot, and they had put all the police line tape and what's going on. Somebody just robbed the bank.
What does the tape accomplish exactly?
It's a police line. Do not cross.
I actually have to go to that bank later, the one that got robbed today. I have to go there. That's you know, I was going to the ATM there. I was going to go on the way here, but I figured, you know, with all these cops around, probably wouldn't be the best move, but I do need to go there.
Yeah, you don't know which one it was. One was a Washington Mutual, and the other one
No.
The other one was a bank in New York old days.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
I thought you went back the other one.
I thought you went back in time, because those banks don't exist anymore. Yeah.
Right, I'm saying, yeah.
The two Chases that are next door to each other, one was a Washington Mutual, one was a Bank of New York. In fact, Bank of New York, that was my first bank, that particular one.
Yeah.
And they had a branch here on campus. In fact, that was the first ATM I ever played with, was the one. Remember the one downstairs?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I still have those little card receipts.
You should call it Boney.
Yeah, Bank of New York. Yeah. Okay, so...
Now they're chasing each other. Yeah.
Yeah, there's two Chases right next to each other. I can't figure that out. I mean, how did the guy pick which one he was going to rob? That's what I'd like to know. There's two Chases here. Which one? I don't know.
Well, never underestimate the stupidity of the criminal. Yeah.
Well, he's the one that has the money now, so I wouldn't overestimate.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one today was Capital One.
Capital One.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, nobody has. It's not any. Well, this is the story about the Chase last week, but I can't read the whole thing because I haven't paid for it. But there is no story about the Capital One, not yet. So you heard it here first, folks.
Wow. On WUSB. Breaking news. You need a sounder. You know.
What kind of mask is that you have on? I was going to bring that up. Should I not talk about that?
Oh, Kimosabe, no!
Oh, boy. Okay, well...
I'm going to catch the masked man with a mask, so they don't know which one is...
Can you believe this headline? If you see a masked man, go call the cops or something.
Yeah, you'd watch out, yeah.
Because the robbers never take the mask off.
Of course not.
Walk around like that all the time.
Yeah. Didn't say what kind of mask, you know, like a ski mask or...
Maybe it's an anonymous mask.
A Lone Ranger mask or Mardi Gras mask.
One of those anonymous masks.
That's perfectly legitimate.
That's right, today's Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
You know, the guy probably just needed some extra spending cash for...
to buy some more beads, yeah.
Or some drinks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, fair enough. You know, this thing came in before.
Oh, my God.
We got an emergency alert system. I don't know what that even means. It printed out before, and I figured, you know, the whole world's falling apart outside.
Oh, my God.
So
we're missing part of it.
Well, I ripped it off, and that's all that came off, as you can see. Okay. There's nothing there. Hmm. So I don't know. Was that a test, or is this a real thing?
I'll find out.
All right. Please do. All right, finishing this letter. I'm so sorry about the letter. It's taking me forever to read this. Later I got my own tape recorder and joined a lot back then. I'm so glad your shows can still air. I already read that part. It's so hard to find radio programs like that anymore. It's why I got into shortwave in a way, but it seemed like more and more good programs were disappearing. I was glad to still hear Pirates in the 6.925 megahertz area of AM. Yeah, if you go to shortwave and listen to 6.925, you might hear some Pirates. Not the kind that take over boats, at least I don't think so, but radio pirates. The voice of Russia, voice of Turkey, Deutsche Welle from Germany were some of my other favorite shortwave stations. Hopefully off the wall and off the hook and continue to be free on the airwaves for many years to come. Thank you so much for all that you do and the rest of the volunteers that help bring these shows to the public. I deeply appreciate it. Signed, Darren B. Thank you, Darren, for that wonderful letter. And, of course, the thanks go to everybody here at WUSB for keeping us going as well. And, yeah, you know what? It is free on the airwaves, but it's not free to produce, and we're going to be asking for help next month, just to let you know, to give you the warning about that, but it's not a bad thing. It's something that is vitally important, something that we need. Everything operating okay?
Is it just a weekly test, log only? That means it doesn't take over our airwaves.
It takes over our airwaves sometimes?
Well, remember the Obama test?
Yeah, the Obama test. It took over
our airwaves, yeah.
Wow.
Automatically.
It didn't work at BAI at all.
Well, actually, it worked, but it was just like, you know, it was like fifth generation audio.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the finest
that's
in radio.
Like.
That's what radio will sound like if you let the federal government take over.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, they're thinking of going digital.
Thinking about it.
Instead of 10th generation analog. Yeah.
You see any basketball players outside? Because we have a basketball game coming
up.
Actually,
no,
I guess they don't come here, do they? No, I'm sorry. I have it all wrong. In fact, the game isn't even here at Stony Brook. It's up in Hartford. So,
it's on the telephone.
Yeah. So that's coming up in about 9 minutes, I guess. So I'm going to finish this. Any other updates from the outside world, Frank?
No. But I'll see you later, and we'll compare notes on the world affairs.
Frank is our chief engineer. He has been our chief engineer since before we even had equipment, I think.
Before time. No.
He's been here since the beginning. He's going to stick around to the very end.
Before FM.
Okay, we've been FM for quite a while, so... I don't think many people remember when we weren't at FM, and they certainly couldn't receive us.
Nope.
All right, I have another letter here. Thank you, Frank. This is from Jay in Fort Collins, Colorado. The travel shows are great. I remember the tramp steamer trip you shared on radio a few years ago. Tramp steamer? I forget that one. But I did go around on an ocean liner and a freighter. Now, that must be what you meant. Maybe you could, in the same way, cover day trip stuff in the U.S., like a trip to Coney Island or a long trip on the subway somewhere. I've thought about doing just that. Get very strange looks from people when you hold a microphone, but it's worth it. Kyle's observations add much to the travel logs also and helps in your ad lib. I've never visited New York City, but I'm most interested in the culture there. Is it true that some people multitask by cutting their toenails while riding on the subway? Well, Jay, I got to tell you, some people multitask by cutting their toenails while they drive the subway. Yes, we are very versatile and capable of doing all kinds of things in New York. And I hope that you come visit us during the HOPE Conference, which is coming up this July 13th through 15th at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. And if you take a train, all you have to do is walk across the street once you arrive. And, did you hear that before? Kyle's on a train. He was about to be on a train.
Was that, like 3 days? Or
about 3 days.
Three days.
That's
cool.
That's the way to
do it. I've never done 3 days.
I've done more than that on the Trans-Siberian, but it's a great way to you really get acclimated to it.
I did the night train to Munich once. That was like almost a day.
But you stayed in the same country.
Yeah, it was the same country, but it was fun. I just had to take it because of the Al Stewart song. Yeah.
Of course, Carl's staying in the same country too, but it's a much bigger country, so that kind of thing.
Large.
Yeah. So Israel hasn't bombed Iran yet, but apparently they're still. They're still talking about doing that. You know, it's incredible to me how we just accept these kinds of stories. This is the way it is. This is normal world politics. And without telling ourselves, no, this is wrong. We can't have this happen. We can't even talk about it like it's anything remotely close to rational. Today, for instance, we finally, when I say we, I mean the Western world. But you know what? I'm going to say Israel for now because they're kind of in this on their own, and I think even the United States is not really into the idea of Israel bombing Iran because they dared to research nuclear power. It's nuts. But today, apparently, Iran was provoked into saying that they might launch a preemptive strike against its enemies if the nation's leaders felt an attack on Iran was imminent. All right, so now you're exactly like Israel, okay? You're both saying crazy things. All right? Great. And by constantly saying that Israel's going to be attacking Iran and coming up with calendar schedules for it, yeah, you can get them to say things too. People need to, step back a bit and think about just what this means. Now, get this. This is unbelievable to me. This was in the New York Times, couple days ago. The headline, Iran raid seen as a huge task for Israeli jets. This article basically goes into how if Israel decides they want to launch an airstrike, it's going to be difficult because they've got to fly a couple of thousand miles, they have to refuel in the air, they have to go over potentially hostile countries, although pretty much everybody lets Israel do whatever they want. They probably could pull it off. They probably could, but it wouldn't be easy. But here's the thing. Hidden in this article, it's a big article, big front page article, but let's go all the way down into, maybe about 20 paragraphs in. All right, now, another major hurdle is Israel's inventory of bombs capable of penetrating the Natanz facility. That's where the nuclear power plant apparently is. Believed to be buried under 30 feet of reinforced concrete, and the Fordo site, which is built into a mountain. Assuming it does not use a nuclear device, Israel has American-made GBU-28 5,000-pound bunker buster bombs that could damage those hardened... Wait! What? Assuming it does not use a nuclear device. Why is that written in the middle of this story as if that is something even remotely acceptable? A first strike using a nuclear device because you don't like a country having a certain type of technology. We're actually starting to think this way. And by just slipping this into this story, it kind of is in the back of our mind. Oh, Israel might use nuclear bombs against this. Well, I guess they have to. What else can they do? And when you start thinking like that, well, then someone else is going to do the same thing. You start falling down a hill that you can't ever get back up. And boy, that is something that I can't believe people aren't screaming about this. First of all, why does Israel have nuclear bombs in the first place? It's one country in the world that should not have them. Because they kind of go nuts sometimes with the whole revenge thing. A lot of countries shouldn't have them. In fact, no country should have this. But it's especially crazy when you see a country like Israel that has no trouble killing 500 people if one of their people is killed. It kind of doesn't seem quite sporting. Really doesn't, if you want to look at it that way. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy, and of course other countries are going to want to even the playing field just a little bit. All right, it's frustrating, it's scary, it's something we really need to look out for. People, please pay attention to this, because it's going to escalate a lot quicker than you think if nobody does anything. We're out of time, unfortunately. We could talk about this for hours, obviously, but we can't. We'll talk about it next week, though, maybe. Write to us, otw@2600.com. You know, this is something else, too. You don't realize when you're a kid what the actual lyrics of certain songs mean. But when you're an adult and you play them back, all of a sudden you hear the hidden meaning, you know? Well, listen to this. Tell me if you see what I mean. Good night.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
Some rocks. Tell the Ayatollah gonna put you in a box. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. The country's got a feeling, really it's a stealing. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Old Uncle Sam's getting pretty hot. Time to turn Iran into a parking lot. Bomb Iran. Bombardiers, call the financiers, better get their ass in gear. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran, bomb, bomb, bomb Iran. The country's got a feeling, really it's a feeling. Bomb Iran, bomb, 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 bomb Iran.
Bomb Iran, bomb, bomb.